Next on BYUSN, Noah Waterman enters the transfer portal from BYU men's basketball. How does that impact the Cougars' roster needs now? Jonathan Tabernari, former basketball great, will join us to discuss what Noah Waterman leaving means, his opinion on the roster needs, and thoughts on the other recent roster and coaching moves.
Would making a bowl game be enough of a step forward for Cougar football? The top five bounce back seasons ever. Where does 1996 fit into it? And pitcher Bryce Robinson recaps his BYU career and sets up the final week of the baseball season.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, May 14th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who is finally going to tell us if golfing is actually a word, Jerem Jordan.
Now, you brought this up a couple years ago with me, and then I saw that you posted on X yesterday. Is golfing a word? Certainly basketballing is not a word, but I think it's really fun. So I say, I know it's not, but I think it's acceptable, right?
I think it depends on who is saying it and their level of skill. Like, honestly, I believe that that is like what is associated
because,
with that.
Well, golf can be a little hoity-toity.
Yes.
So yes.
Yes.
But in basketball, the high-level basketball players aren't like, please, peon, don't say basketballing around me, if that was used regularly. But golfing is used by the common man and woman all the time.
People have been asking me, who's this PGA Tour legend that corrected you 12 years ago? I'm going to reveal it right now. Most of you probably don't know him, but you should, because he was the first man to ever shoot a 59 in a PGA Tour sanctioned event.
Therefore, he can tell people what to do.
His nickname is, in fact, Mr. 59 because of that score. It is Al Geiberger. Shout out to the Geibergers in the Palm Springs area. Lovely family. When I was playing with Al and his sons, I said, do you enjoy golfing? And I wasn't even talking to him. I was talking to somebody else who was in a celebrity golf tournament. And he said, Spencer, I'm going to do you a favor. You need to understand.
That's always a nice preface to a sentence.
That golfing is not a word. We play golf. There are golfers, but there's no such thing as golfing. And I'm like, really? Because I'm pretty sure it's in the dictionary. And he's like, no. The dictionary modified. If you could ask any golf purist, yeah, the dictionary, because people say it, has now included it. But he's like, it's not. It is not a word.
A little too nose up for me.
So yeah. Play golf it is. Professional golfers is a thing. But even he referred to himself as like, We are pros. We are tour pros. You're amateur players. Okay, very good. So, yeah, there you go. There is the backdrop to that.
I'm excited to not heed that advice. Let's sports nationing this show now.
And TVing
Let's TVing.
Let's TVing right now. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. All right, Noah Waterman officially in the transfer portal. We'll see. Doesn't mean he's not coming back to BYU like Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders.
Right.
There's a flood of scholarships available, Jerem, with Noah Waterman potentially leaving the fold of BYU basketball.
Yay, verily.
5 open scholarships if indeed Noah lands somewhere else. And certainly he is shopping what his value is in the transfer portal as currently constituted. So, Jerem, how does this impact BYU's roster needs if Waterman does not return to play for BYU?
BYU still probably needed 2 bigs anyway, although he's a 6'11 wing of sorts, but they played him at the 4 quite a bit. You kind of go small. There's not a lot of teams throwing 2 bigs out there anymore. Notable because he had improved quite a bit. You look at, you think about 2.4 points per game and 1.3 rebounds per game and 1.8% from 3. Doesn't feel like a ton, but he made great strides last year,
yes,
especially in non-conference play. And into conference play, there were moments where he was really helping out BYU. Bummer that he's in the portal. Doesn't mean he's not leaving, like you mentioned. But now I think BYU needs 2 bigs. And they've identified specifically the following 2 in our conversations over the last couple of weeks. A 6'6", 6'7", wing who can defend, and then a guy who can score off the bounce. So those are kind of your 4 needs for 5 spots at this point. And then you could play a Brody Kozlowski at the 4 if you wanted, as a 6'7", 6'8", guy who can defend and kind of is a bigger kid. So, Yeah, let's go. Bummer, but certainly you have four or five spots, now five, that you need to fill.
This hurts because where are you going to find a 6'11 shooter? Again, who can pull up off the bounce?
But you may, I mean, you won't, but you also may find someone who's maybe a little quicker in that regard. Someone who, may not have the exact attributes, but that's okay.
We all kind of got critical on Noah, and by all, I mean fans, coaches, teammates, of his lack of engagement at times during his first year with BYU. That all went away last year. Like, the effort and the energy was all of a sudden there. Like, he became like this notable rebounder for the Cougars. So he was using his size in that advantage. It wasn't just, oh, all he does is shoot threes, and yeah, he provides some length, but he's not going to do anything for you physically on the inside and have a paint presence. That was not the case, especially defensively. Like, so BYU will miss that. BYU will miss that tenacity. Hopefully they can find it. Kevin Young and most fans trust in Kevin Young's ability to assess talent and effort and BYU guys. But it just is another thing that now a new head coach has to do if Noah Waterman leaves. Like, it's another thing. And the task list is getting longer. So that's what I'm concerned about is, like, four scholarships is enough. Now, if it's five and you're trying to replace a stretch four, in the case of Noah Waterman, you're not going to find a 6'11 guy. But, yeah, you can find somebody potentially that has maybe more of a skill set and more of a quickness skill set than he does. He's just a unique player. And to lose him this late in the game, the day before the transfer portal closes, that's what hurts.
Yeah. Keita immediately comes in and is the best rebounder on the team. Immediately. So you're not downgrading from that part. You're actually upgrading probably in the rebounding space. But he's the five, not the four. You like four shooters on the court at the same time.
Yes.
We're not going to see Foose and Keita on the floor at the same time. Although Foose is like, I'm two of three the last 2 years. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Well, which Great Osabor made three threes last year.
Does Brody Kozlowski all of a sudden step in and have a larger role?
He could, but there's five scholarships to fill. Let's just wait till it's all full and then we'll kind
fluid.
Of assess.
It's fluid sure.
Hey, I do like having top 100 guys from ESPN out of high school, right? So you're going to hand Brody Kozlowski the keys to some degree. But, yeah, let's see the roster filled out, and then we'll see where we're at. But, yeah, you got one true point guard in Dallin Hall. You got wings Richie Saunders, Trevin Nell, Dawson Baker, Trey Stewart. Brody Kozlowski in that mix is kind of a 3.5, right, a stretch four or a three. Then you have two bigs in Foose and Kaba Keita from Utah. So those are the eight dudes right now. You have five scholarships to fill, and they've ID'd the two guys I mentioned, and obviously you need at least two more bigs, if not three.
BYU needs some size, for sure. Like, they need guys that we've been saying 6'8", like, hey, taller than 6'7", or 6'8". Can BYU go get a guy that's 6'10", or above?
Well, if they're 6'9", but they jump out of the gym,
great.
It doesn't matter. It's
great.
1 inch in height, whatever. It's more about the skills and attributes of the guy being 6'8", plus. Because Keita is 6'8", but, like, long and athletic. That's great. Nowadays, in this college space, not a lot of teams are chucking it into a guy 20 times to go get a bucket.
No, but
not a lot of Edies and Dickinsons.
Well, if you look at the great college basketball teams, though, if you look at, like, most of them have.
But BYU's not competing in that space for the national championship.
Why not try?
They're competing to win a game in the tournament.
Why not try? Well, it's going to help you win a game in a tournament if you go get some true size.
Of course, but there's not that many out there that are good enough.
My point exactly.
You have to pay them.
I know that Noah Waterman is not a true big, but, like, that size. Like, I just want BYU to have that size on the roster.
It'd be great. I'm sure they'd welcome it, but you have to find the right guys that fit. But, like, the kind of guys that BYU, if you can get a Donovan Klingon, of course you'd go get them. Those guys are getting paid more elsewhere. They ain't coming here. But hopefully BYU can find diamonds in the rough and good fits that work at BYU. And then you don't, you win a game in the NCAA tournament plus. That's the space we're in. That's a high standard to, get that guy
Big
and go
12
to the Final
now,
Four.
You got four of the top five teams potentially in the preseason poll in the top five.
Yeah, we're just trying to be in the top eight of the league. That's the standard. It's a little different.
Size and athleticism. Let's go.
Okay, topic two. Would making a bowl game be a big enough step forward for BYU football? There's a lot of conversation about what the expectations are. They're basically like, get to a bowl game. Is that good enough?
Technically speaking, getting to a bowl game means, yes, BYU at least won one more game than they did last year. So, yeah, by just the sheer chart of progress, then that would be a step forward.
Men's hoops too, right? Just win that
just
one
win
tournament
a game,
game
in the tournament. Yeah. That's a little bit of a bigger deal.
It is, but it's one game difference is what we're talking about, right?
But getting to a bowl game. Now, if we ask BYU to win said bowl game, now I feel like we're getting to where that is enough. I know that the Big 12 is tough, and even though you lose Texas and Oklahoma, it's not going to be that much of a drop-off as far as competition and the challenge goes because you get to 16 teams, and you bring in Utah, for crying out loud, who is a college football playoff contender immediately.
I heard that from Utah.
Well, others are saying it too. Lots of national pundits, as much as BYU fans hate it.
No, they deserve it.
They absolutely deserve
it. I'm excited to see another Rose Bowl loss.
The level they're playing at. So
I'm jealous.
Yes, it would be progress, but it's not enough. I don't think it's enough. Honestly, at the end of the day.
What's enough?
Probably 7 wins. So if you get a 7th win and you win your bowl game, awesome. You're 7-6.
Would we take 6-7?
No.
You get to a bowl game but lose?
I don't like that. No, I'm telling you, like that to me does not feel like a big enough step forward. That is the question with the key phrase. Would it be a big enough step forward for football to just get to a bowl game? I think you have to win it and finish with a winning record. BYU needs a winning record.
Hey, that's what we expect around here. Is this roster good enough for that, right? Because there weren't a lot of, like, big names or incoming transfers that really kind of bolster certain areas. BYU's really relying on we are going to be way better at running the ball, and therefore it affects everything else. And we like the guys we have. We didn't need to bring in 31 dudes like the year before. We have continuity. We have the core. We're going to bounce back, which we'll do that. Talk about that in top five, right? Is BYU's quarterback going to be better than the one across the field most games? I hope so, but the answer, I think, is probably not. BYU is going to have to collectively get this done, Spence, as a unit, as opposed to we have Taysom Hill. That means we are equal to or better than the other team on the other side, and that gives us a chance to win.
If BYU has a good defense and a mediocre offense, they should win 7 games. A good defense.
Will
and
a mediocre offense get it done in the Big 12? Because there's a lot of great quarterbacks.
Wasn't even close to mediocre. Right. It was poor, and they still won 5 games.
Yeah, and hopefully the schedule shakes out in a similar way, right? Where you can, well, not in a similar way. You want it to be different. I'm just concerned. I'm just concerned a little bit because I think a bowl game probably is enough. I'm not worried about whether BYU wins said bowl game. I need to know who BYU is playing. Are they banged up at the time? I don't have enough information generally to prognosticate that specific game.
Sure. To me, looking at losing records in back-to-back years, like if you get to a bowl game, but you still finished with a losing
record. That's like, it feels like that's talking about like program standard versus like this roster against this schedule, because that's what's actually going to happen, as opposed to, well, any given BYU team should be able to get to a bowl game and hopefully win it and win at least 7 games. But you have to assess what BYU was last year, what they are right now, and what we think they will be. And people aren't super high on the Cougs. In fact, you look at a couple sites out of Vegas, including this morning, Action Network, Brett McMurphy, who's been on the program, tweeted the following. BYU tied for the lowest amount of expected wins at 4.5. That's now 2 Vegas sites saying 4.5. It doesn't mean BYU will be at 5 or 4, but certainly the standard going into the season is low, which is a bummer. It's not fun to not get excited about the possibility of BYU competing well in the Big 12. We're not talking about that. We're talking about can they minimally get to a bowl game? And our hope is they go at least 2-1 in non-con. Obviously, you got to beat Southern Illinois at home. You hope to win at Wyoming. Sorry, at SMU is going to be a tough game. You might lose that. At Wyoming is a sneaky, tough game. In Laramie, which I don't agree about playing. I wish we were playing G5 road games. I know Utah playing at Utah State, I think, this year. But then in league, that means you have to go at least 4-5. Last year went 2-7. Got to be 2 games better. But that's minimum threshold, right? We're not talking about something good. Is it not bad?
Is minimum threshold enough?
Get to a bowl game.
Is it enough of a step forward?
Given the roster and what you have, I think yes, because what's going to be massively different for BYU to be like not one game different from last year, but like 2 or 3. You hope the ball bounces your way, that you're healthy, that you can get some consistent quarterback play. Yes, run game, all that. But these guys have to get it done. It's not going to be these incoming crazy transfers that BYU brought in.
Those guys,
the same dudes.
Those guys were good enough to. if you don't throw a pick six on the 1 yard line, you probably beat Oklahoma. Like, that's sad, but it comes down to that. So that hurts, because then this conversation that we're having is totally different.
I think we'd be having a similar conversation. It's just like, hey,
or don't blow a 24-6 lead on the road.
I don't like discussing non-8 plus win seasons. It just seems like you're just irrelevant and meh. That's what it feels like right now.
Here's what scares me. If BYU finishes, yeah, they get to a bowl game, but they lose and they finish 6-7. Now the Cougars are firmly trenched and mired in mediocrity, mm-hmm. because it's 5-7 and it's 6-7. And what's going to change while you're in the difficulty of the Big 12?
Yeah.
What's going to change all of a sudden? You hope that you go find some star quarterback or whatever?
You hope that was the table set in 18-19 of 7-6s to prepare you for 11-1 and 10-3.
But like, those 7-6s were at least winning records.
There's not a huge difference. It's just you weren't that relevant, and now you are young, and you recruited well, and you got the guys in. Now you become good. That's the hope.
They're
right?
Not necessarily young right now, though. That's the thing.
But what I mean is, you hope your recruiting classes sort of like Jay Hill gets Jay Hill guys, and it's going to take 3 years to really see the results.
Okay. Hopefully, year two is a winning record.
Out of high school kids.
Hopefully, year two is a winning record, because then fans get less and less engaged. If you are mired in mediocrity, two losing seasons in a row.
Do something. Something is beat Utah and win 8-plus games, or notable P5 wins against top 20. Like, if BYU beat Texas or Oklahoma last year, we'd have something.
Exactly.
To hold on to.
Something. Didn't happen. Our question of the day.
Said we had spit game.
Would making a bowl game be a big enough step forward for BYU football in 2024? The Sports Psychic on X says, absolutely. Second year in a Power Four and going bowling would be great. It would be a great foundation to build on and show BYU is headed in the right direction. Yes, progress is getting to a bowl game. But if it's a losing record, I'm telling you, people are not going to be happy.
Then just go win 7 in the regular season.
Yeah. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Just got to go 3-0 non-conference. Then you're good. Join us for another BYUSN one-hour special at the BYU Fan Fest in Phoenix at Gilbert Regional Park. Coming up this Saturday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, back to BYU basketball with Jonathan Tavernari. What does he think of the void that Noah Waterman leaves as he enters the transfer portal, and how much does it really affect BYU? This is BYUSN.
I can see clearly now, the fog is gone. Wow, what a performance.
Blocked by Richie. What a block.
Dallin Hall spots an opening. Drive it down.
In forecourt, 2-on-1, lobs it up to Boos. Oh! Who
cares? That's how you beat the press.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, back on the basketball beat as we look at Noah Waterman entering the transfer portal, what it means for the Cougars and the staff, and who's going to get added to the new staff.
You know what we've never done?
What's that?
Sorry, I cut you off. We've never interviewed someone in traffic in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
We should do that right now. Now.
Yeah.
Jonathan Tavernari is that man who is going to fill the void.
What's up?
That Jerem just presented.
Yay!
Joins us from Sao Paulo. JT, thanks for making time for us in traffic, no less.
Hey, guys. The weather is a little bit cloudy. There's a little bit of rain here. There's a couple of traffic jams. Police blitz looking for some drug dealers, but the church is still true. The temple is operational, and I'm just getting noticed right now that Brazil is the largest population of LDS members outside of America. So yeah, back to you, a studio, Jerem.
Hey, these are my people, man. Went to Porto Alegre, lived in Sao Paulo, obviously, for 2 months in the CETAME, as they say. How is Brazil, and what are you doing in Brazil, man?
Work. Brazil is great. You served in Porto Alegre, so you and I chat a little bit about this online, but very sad what's happening over there now with the floods.
Yep.
The entire country is mobilizing. A lot of people in Utah are mobilizing as well. And so, it's a very chaotic, sad scene there, but Brazilians are resilient and they're fighting through it. And, just lots of thoughts and prayers with the people of Porto Alegre right now.
Jonathan Tavernari is with us on BYU Sports Nation. We've been discussing BYU's roster. It is fluid. And most recently, Noah Waterman, JT, has entered the transfer portal. 6'11", shooter, stretch four, guy that gave maximum effort and was a rebounding help for BYU. What do you think of the loss of Noah Waterman, and how much concern should BYU fans be feeling because he is in the portal?
So I don't want to diminish Noah's importance to the season last year, mainly because the leap that we saw him take from 2 years ago to last year was incredible. There were games that he literally shot us in a game and he made them in bunches, and it was incredible. The way that he rebounded was, you know, impressive. Towards the end of the season, we saw a little bit less of his, you know, of his productivity. But nonetheless, you know, someone that the BYU wouldn't have had the incredible journey and season that they had last year without. Now, with that being said, you know, clearly there's going to be someone who's going to need to step up. You know, and just looking at the way things are, I'm very, very excited about Brody Kozlowski, right? Brody doesn't have the experience that Noah has, hasn't been to the NCAA tournament, hasn't played, you know, in the Big 12. But Brody's tough, man. And, you know, I think you guys, both of you, we've talked about this. I'm extremely high on him. My expectations for him himself are very high, and also for the program is high. And so, you know, I think that if BYU can convince Noah that, hey, you know, give us another go, or if there's somebody that can fill in those needs. But, you know, I think it's a big miss for BYU. You know, certainly not, you know, Dallin Hall, Richie Saunders size of a miss, but, you know, something that if you can, you know, you know, good choices come from experience. Experience comes from making bad choices. And what I mean by that is Noah has a lot of experience. I got a lot of good experience because of what he has been able to accomplish. And so, you know, to me is one of those things that if, you know, he is able to, you know, come back and, you know, just looking at these numbers that you guys have on the screen, this is a very impactful player that I hope that we can get it back, you know, or, you know, I don't know how many more guys in the portal that, you know, understand BYU and have the ability to come to BYU and perform the way Noah has done. And, you know, his deep blue that BYU TV has done is incredible. All of these things to me are priceless, but, you know, I'm certainly excited to see what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Five scholarships are available. Certainly one would be given to Noah Waterman. One would be given to Jackson Robinson if they wanted to return. So there are at least three, right, for other people. Where do you prioritize what BYU needs next? Because certainly they need more bigs. They've identified that they need a wing who can defend and someone who can score off the bounce. What's your priority among those three?
I'll probably say a big. I take that back because we just signed Kebo. But I'll probably say a wing that can score. I agree with that. And so the reason why is missing Jackson Robinson, the team's leading scorer. I don't know if he'll go to Kentucky, you know, to play for he who shall not be named. But I will say this. I don't know if he's going to go to you know where, play for he who shall not be named, mainly because if you guys keep looking at these draft boards, he keeps going up. He's now up to 46. And so it wouldn't surprise me to have him play himself into the 30s. And so I have a hard time believing Jackson Robinson will come back to college, right? However, there are some guys that will take a pay cut when they go professional or become pros, you know, from college. And so, I would say that the most glaring need right now is a wing that can score. Just looking at what we have right now, Trevin Nell is a specialist. He's a shooter, you know, not somebody that it will certainly be able to score, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 three-pointers that we've seen it. But I think a consistent wing scorer, definitely somebody who's going to be there. The jury's out on Dawson, not from a quality perspective or abilities, but to be able to see how much he will deliver, right? And so, and then we know Dallin is not a pure scorer. That's not his game. And we know Richie can fill it up. But again, if you can add somebody that can have, you know, 12, 13 points a game, and then you can make Trey and Dawson, you know, more of a backup role towards Dallin. You know, I think you're complimenting a team that went to the NCAA tournament, and you can do it in a way that will allow you, you know, to compete again in the Big 12, be towards the, you know, the top half of the league, and be able to be, you know, successful and effective, you know, next season as you were in this season.
Jonathan Tavernari is joining us live from Brazil, and the opinions they carry through international borders. That is
for sure. Vamos lá!
Okay, JT, assess the current staff and roster right now for BYU basketball. And we know that some more key pieces are eventually going to be added. But as the roster stands, what is good enough for BYU and Kevin Young in year one? How much of some pad or leeway are you going to give him to make the transition from the pro game to the college game, but still be enough that you and everyone in the BYU basketball community feels like, yes, this was a good season and BYU's in a good place?
Well, I will say this, you know, I think we all were ready to give a pretty big pass to, you know, to Mark Pope and the team last year. And we were extremely blown away and just amazed at how incredible that year was, right? And so from that perspective, I feel like, you know, the same level of rope and leeway I was ready to give last year, you know, I will be able to do just that this year, if not more. And so definitely able to do that and looking to do that, you know, because I think it's a rebuilding year. I think it truly is, right? Last year, we're like, hey, it's the first year in the Big 12. You know, let's just give, you know, let's give these guys the benefit of a doubt. This year, it's the expectations that I had for last year, I'm going to apply them to this year. I want to give Kevin Young a full off season. He certainly no way has had a full off season. He was here part time with this, you know, with the Suns. I think that's, you know, that's pretty clear. And, you know, after this first year, I'm just expecting us to have a great impactful year. Whatever it comes, you know, I think it'll be great. You know, certainly hope that it will be a productive one, you know, just because of the level of, you know, the investment that we're making on NIL in players and the way that we are putting, you know, we got some dogs to come back. And so I think because of that, it will be incredibly helpful to have, you know, a really good season with Dallin playing a prominent role, with Richie playing a prominent role. You know, I don't want to say that I just want to go through the motions this year. Certainly Kevin will not want to do that. With Chris Burgess, I think is an amazing hire. Brian, I think is an amazing hire, you know, just the chief of staff, the role and everything he's doing. I think those are amazing things. Adding Keba, a true rim protector. We haven't had one, you know, since,
Matt Harms.
I forgot his name. Matt Harms. Thank you. Yes. Yep. I was going to say the tall Dutchman. You know, we haven't had a true one since Matt Harms. And so to be able to have somebody like that with Kip, I think it's impressive. And so, you know, I would say that my hope, Jerem, like we used to say with Coach Rose, you know, our hope is, you know, our goals are to accomplish A, B, and C. I think our goals with this year would be finishing the top half of the Big 12, fight for the NCAA tournament, if not have a fantastic run in the NIT. I think those expectations are realistic. I don't think in no way, shape, or form we're probably going to have the number one net team in the nation and all of that. But again, we all were expecting, very low things out of last year's team, and we ended up having a magical run. So,
Jonathan Tavernari is on BYU Sports Nation. We appreciate the time as always, JT. Your insights are always on point. We enjoy talking with you. Please travel safely while you're in traffic.
I will do. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. One last thing I just want to share. Again, thoughts and prayers for the people to Alegre.
Yeah.
As Jerem can probably attest, things are kind of tough over there. And I appreciate you guys do. And always and forever, go Cougs.
You got it.
Absolutely.
Jonathan Tavernari.
Thanks, JT.
From Brazil. All right, we checked that box.
Yes, and he's referring to, so southern Brazil, there's been massive flooding in several areas where I served, Canoas, most notably Porto Alegre. So really, really sad, like 300,000 people displaced, which is really
my understanding tough. The church is already getting heavily involved
in
the efforts to help those down there.
This is where the church does some of its best work.
Great, so, yeah. Yeah. Super sad, but great. And the efforts to help those people.
Yep, absolutely. If you miss any BYU Sports Nation content, it's all free on the BYU TV app and BYUSN.com. Interviews with JT, Deep Blues, trending topics, and so on and so forth.
A loaded whip round up next, including, is the top of the Big 12 going to be even tougher next season than it was this last season? Why, it really might be. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This here program's on social media. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out your headlines.
Men's basketball's Noah Waterman entered the transfer portal yesterday. He averaged 9.5 points per game, 5.4 boards on 37% shooting from three last season. That leaves Kevin Young and the Cougars with five open scholarships.
Jackson Robinson participated in day one of the NBA draft combine yesterday. Measurements and worked through drills. Robinson measured at 6 feet, 4.75 inches without shoes, 188.6 pounds with a wingspan of 6 feet, 11.75 inches. The combine will continue in Chicago all week.
Bill Connolly's returning production SP Plus rankings have BYU 54th, turning 65% of its production from last year. That ranks 10th out of all 16 Big 12 teams.
BYU men's golf currently in fourth place at their NCAA regional in Austin after shooting 5 under par as a team on day one. Freshman Peter Kim helped BYU shooting 3 under par individually with 6 birdies on the day, just 1 shot off the individual lead. Round two happening this morning. Of note, the top 5 teams from each regional advance to nationals.
Yeah, BYU at 7 under. They're 2 under today. Keep it going, boys. Let's go. Baseball hosts Grand Canyon tonight in the final home game of the season for BYU. 8 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. I've joked this was the former WCC team with the future WCC team.
And former BYU women's basketball player Rose Boubacar has signed to continue her collegiate career with Weber State. As of yesterday, we wish the best of luck to Rose. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
What do you make of BYU football being 54th in returning production from Bill Connolly?
Honestly, I don't really have any sort of intriguing or strong opinion on the matter because it's just like dead in the middle.
Do you remember 21 and 22, BYU had the fewest in the country, and then 22 they had the most?
And look what happened.
The fewest yielded 10-3 in a great season.
Yes.
And then the most yielded 8-5, which was disappointing for that group.
Yeah, and I know injuries played a massive factor in the 2022 season, losing Jaren Hall for a few games. He was not right for a majority of the season. Puka Nacua. Like, I know injuries
those guys
factor
good?
In. They are both on NFL rosters.
Are they pretty good?
Yeah.
Puka's more than NFL.
Yeah, Puka's all pro, so there's that. Yeah. But 54th, okay. Like, let's just play football.
I love numbers. I love this crap. I don't need this one.
I don't care.
I don't need this one.
I don't care.
Next.
54. Like, if it was, like, top
next.
25 or bottom 25, yes. Okay. 54. Okay.
Next.
CBS Sports' Sheehan Jiraja has BYU 13th in his post-spring football power rankings in the Big 12. Yep. So, Jeremy, does it matter to you where BYU finishes in the Big 12 as long as they get to a bowl game?
Yeah, the overall finish in football does not matter to me as much as, like, men's hoops, because there's bids to the NCAA tournament, and you're looking at who's in, who's out. Football, no. I just want to make a bowl game. I would certainly love for BYU to go 3-0 in non-con and, like, 4-5 in league, and then you're – I don't know what that's going to yield out of 16. You're going to be ninth place at that point? Like, I don't know what that looks like.
If you win 7 games, then there's some juice. Then there's a little juice, like, okay.
A little juice.
All right.
Not a lot.
They're building. Yeah. They're building. But if you only win 6, is that enough to say, like, oh, they're building? Like, 5-6?
Is it that big of a difference, too?
7. Yeah. I feel like you need 7.
Yeah. 8-plus or bust.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where they finish. I just want BYU to win 7 games.
Yeah, we're asking a lot.
That includes a bowl game win? Awesome. Winning record.
Wait, I thought they were going to the playoff, playing multiple games.
Winning
what are you
record.
Iowa State's AD Jamie Pollard had a strong statement surrounding the landscape of collegiate athletics. No one has any commentary on these subjects. If I was a member of the Big Ten or SEC, I'd start looking over my shoulder and wondering, when is the day going to come when the top of the SEC not going to want the bottom of the SEC, end quote. And then another quote, those with the gold make the rules.
Okay.
Do you think there will be a reckoning for the bottom teams in power leagues at some point?
Maybe. I never say never, because, I mean,
great things, album by Justin Bieber.
Things that we thought would never happen in collegiate athletics 10 years ago have happened and have gone way beyond that line.
Yeah, USC playing conference games in Purdue.
It's crazy.
What?
So, yes, those with the TV eyeballs control the gold with the ratings and the biggest contracts. Sure. Like, if you're not, doing your part as part of a SEC conference or the Big Ten, and the money makers are like, hey, you're not helping. We can be more lucrative if you're not
here. It's not like, you know, old Kentucky or whatever in the SEC. It's more like Rutgers in the Big Ten, I think, what we're talking about. Like those type of programs that are like, are you really contributing? Did we not grab the New York market like we thought? Maybe at some point if they break, like if P4 breaks off and forms its own thing, maybe, but we'll see. Like Washington State and Oregon State are like, we're right here.
Relegation forever was like, that's never gonna happen. Don't be surprised.
Well, one-time relegation, not every year. Right?
There could be some relegation for some of these teams. Yeah. Jeff Borzello, onto basketball we go, with his updated way too early top 25, showing four of the top five teams are Big 12 schools. This is ridiculous. Kansas, the clear number one, by the way. Four of the top five, Jeremy.
Yep.
Is the top of the Big 12 going to be even better next season?
Yeah, I think it is, because you have Kansas, Houston, Baylor, Iowa State.
Iowa State brings everybody
back. You
know
who you didn't hear in that list? Arizona. Like, if BYU finished tied for fifth next year, holy mackerel. No, I'll take top eight.
Top half.
Top eight.
Yeah. Top eight, you're in the tournament, man.
9 or 10 might get you in the tournament because you've added Arizona and Colorado.
Top eight.
I think those teams will get in.
Your top eight team, you're a single-digit seed. Again, you might be a 7
you might
seed.
Be in 10 still.
You're a 6 seed if you finish 8th in the Big 12. Seriously.
Let's avoid the 6 seed. I've had enough of the 6 seed.
All right, covered football, some basketball. Why not talk BYU baseball, specifically with pitcher Bryce Robison, who will join us next to recap his prolific BYU career. This is BYUSN.
Prolific lettuce.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. It is now time for Hardball. Specifically, the Backcat pitching legend Bryce Robison is joining us in Studio B. Bryce, welcome.
What's up,
to
Bryce?
The Cougar Council Room.
Good to have you in, man.
You've been around for a long time. You've done a lot of great things for BYU baseball. So with Senior Day happening and your final home game happening, what are the emotions like for you?
It's bittersweet. I don't know. I can't think, but to think of all the players like I've played with, BYU is that one like cool school where it's like just because of the missions, where it's like every year the team's different, and so it's like the amount of players that I've played with, and they're all good guys, and so it's been good, you know, kind of create those memories and friendships with, you know, guys that I'm gonna be friends with forever, and so that part's a little sad, but it's bittersweet. It's been an awesome ride, and you know, I'm looking forward to what's next and this chapter closing, but Provo and BYU have been nothing but, it's been great, so.
And you've been awesome, man. Let's talk about some of your program ranks all time. You're 24 wins, tied for 7th, 75 appearances, 7th, 41 starts, tied for 5th, 280 and 2/3 innings pitched, 8th, 210 strikeouts, tied for 10th. Which of those numbers is your favorite from your career? That's pretty good, man, to be top 10 and all that stuff.
It's not bad, but, like, honestly, as a player, it's like, I was thinking, because it's like, I think before the season, my dad was like, hey, did you know like this and stuff? I was like, oh, no, like I didn't, because I personally kind of don't, you know, you might not look, I might not look at that till I'm about 45 and my kid doesn't think I was good at baseball or something. But
how about that graphic title, Bryce Bambino? Oh, I like that.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I think that's when I had my stash too, so that's awesome. it's awesome. It's definitely like nice to be like, you know, the hard work kind of pays off. But for me, it's just kind of, I'm going to be missing, you know, going to the Wilk and eating with the guys or, mm-hmm. you know, we get a series win, so we take soda showers or, like, just something like that. Like, all those things that, you know, aren't seen, you know, on paper and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, the wins is awesome because a win for me is a win for the team and the program. And so that's kind of cool to be able to, you know, stack up those wins, you know, for this program and try to get them in the right direction, you know, in the Big 12 and all that.
What soda are we using? Is it 2 liter? Like, what are we talking
about?
Hey,
no, you just...
In uni, yeah. I assume?
No unis. Bush, our crew manager, Bush, would not like that. he might be there extra long trying to get it out.
It's like, who's cleaning that up?
We
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah, Steve's no, the not good. Yeah, just soda showers, just... little bottle. I usually pick root beer.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of root beer, so.
It's okay to waste it then?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's a very BYU choice
you
there.
You can't take like Mr. Pibb or all the good ones. You got to go for like Fresca, root beer. Those are my top choices. No way I'm drinking those. That's
funny. Bryce Robinson is with us on BYU Sports Nation. You mentioned getting the program going in the right direction in the Big 12. Now, having gone through year one in the Big 12, what do you feel like is the number one indicator or the number one thing you've learned that you can leave with these guys to be like, okay, if you do this, then you will get better in Power Four baseball?
Yeah, I think the one thing I think about, and I was talking about this with a player yesterday, we just need to get some confidence going because it's like, I know where we're at in the sittings. I think like we're last, and you know, no one likes to be last, but there are so many games where we like lost just, you know, one pitch here, you know, one hit there. And so I think learning how to win is one thing, and I think just instilling kind of confidence in these guys is like, you know, like in the fall and like in the season, I think we were like kind of two different teams. Like we weren't playing anybody but ourselves, and so there's like this confidence like, oh, we got this. And then, you know, we go to Texas this year and we beat them, and the confidence up, we're like, man, like we got this, and it's awesome. You know, but then you have one bad game, and sometimes it's hard to kind of bounce back, and so it kind of snowballs, and it's almost like you're just in this like bubble that you can't get out of. But it's like, it's frustrating because there's so much potential. And this year, unfortunately, we didn't figure it out. But being on the team and being there every day working with the guys, like I can see how bright the future is and the potential that they have. But I think it just comes with confidence and just knowing that you can go out there and compete. And even though it's Texas, Oklahoma won it this year, it's like we're right there with those guys. It doesn't matter if this is our first year in the Big 12 or not. So.
Okay, I need a couple favorites from you. One is, which uniform is your favorite? Because you guys have some good ones.
Yeah, I've always started Fridays. And so pinstripes have kind of always been my thing.
Classic.
But I really like the royal blues on Saturday. Dude, it's with fresh. The white, yeah, with the white hats. Like, it's just so clean. So I'd for sure say those two are my favorite.
Okay, what's your favorite pitch? You got to have it.
Change up. By far, yeah. Mm. Change up, not even close.
I feel like you've struck out the most people with the change up.
I don't know about changeup, but yeah, probably. Mm. I think hit. I mean, it's the best pitch in baseball. Like, no other things to say.
How hard do you work to avoid a tell? Right, like, okay, coming out of my hand, you can't tell.
Yeah, no, it's definitely tricky because it's crazy because it's a feel pitch, and you know, ever since I was little, it's like hold it loose, throw it hard, and so it's like how loose can I hold the ball and like still have enough feel for it to be able to do what I want. Mm. And so it's definitely something where it's like, I remember when I was a reliever more earlier in my career, it's like, you know, getting amped up, you know, you're going in the seventh or you're up by one, it's like I'd have a hard time landing it because like I can't even feel my arm.
You're juiced up too much.
And so it's definitely like a feel pitch and stuff, and so sometimes you kind of let it go too early and it kind of fades away and up and out, but yeah, no, for sure change up, it's the best pitch in baseball.
Okay, and last but not least, favorite series win.
Ooh,
probably was it Texas?
It has to be Texas.
That was a big
just because it's Texas. You see it's Texas. Like
it was in Austin.
The Longhorn Network announced they were so great. They'd be having to go, and it's gone again by Colin Ritter.
Yeah. Colin, that game, I think that was the game. That was the game I was pitching. What he did that day was just unbelievable.
What a performance!
He single-handed beat them.
Well, the two of you, right? Yeah.
No, that was fun just because, you know, it's Texas. Sometimes fans can get a little chirpy. So it's like, you know, yep, there you go.
Chirp on and we'll take the series win.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay. So. Favorite BYU baseball memory overall?
Pitching wise, I think it's probably Oregon State had won the College World Series. And I think my true freshman year when COVID kind of got banged, I think I came in in the eighth, and I think I had like two strikeouts or something.
The one here in Provo?
No, it was in Arizona.
Like, early tournaments.
Gotcha. I think we only played like 13 or 14 games that year, but I don't know why. But it's just like, I think like I struck out a kid that like had stolen a base in like in the College World Series, and so it's kind of cool just to see, you know, those players or something like that.
Yeah.
But then off the field, just the memories, like I said, like just going to the Wilk and like hanging out with the guys. Like there's been times when we've gone up the canyon and had like campfires or something and just like hung out. And it's like those are the things that I'm gonna miss the most. It's just locker room.
Those are your boys.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So.
Hey, we wish you the best final home game, your final series at Kansas State. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to go and finish the season the right way.
There you go.
And we may have buried the lead. He's top 10 in all these, you know, prominent pitching categories. Apparently, he's the number one ping pong player on the team.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
The source is you as well on your bio, so that's fun.
Well, I had to let everybody know because I think last year we had some people on, like, some YouTube come in, and they said it was Ryan Sapiti who graduated last year, and he's good, but I got to a place where no one could hang. So I had to let everybody know.
That's great. You got to let them know.
Bryce, great to talk to you, man. Good
luck.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, check out BYU Baseball taking on Grand Canyon tonight. Final home game of the season, 8 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+, and BYU Radio.
Listen, I'm looking for a big bounce back from BYU football after the losing season a year ago. So Top 5 Tuesday features the top 5 bounce back seasons in Cougar football history.
Good ones.
What's
dude.
Number one? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Number one this year.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're in front of the big board for a big reason. It is Top 5 Tuesday. Featuring the top 5 bounce back seasons for BYU football in program history, presented by ESS Dental Health Foundation. Reminding you, dental cleanings are essential for your health. Learn more at visityourdentist.org. Start us off, Jeremy.
Number 5, 1974. In 1973, BYU went 5-6. Gary Shady chucked it around, but in 74, these fools went 7-4-1, went to the first bowl game in program history, the Fiesta Bowl, capped Gary Shady's career, and got the Cougars on the map with their second WAC title.
Yeah, it was Lavelle's first WAC title.
First of many.
Number 4, 2001. Following Lavelle's last miracle and a win over Utah to go 6-6, BYU went gangbusters in 01, began the season 12-0, got as high as number 8 in the AP poll. Doak Walker Award winner and Luke Staley unfortunately breaks his leg, and so the season sputters after that, but still the bounce back to go from 6-6 to 12-2. It's one of only 4 seasons in BYU history with 12 or more wins.
Yeah, it was incredible. Unfortunately, it didn't finish great. Number 3, 1983. In 82, BYU won the WAC, was 8-4, but you know what? In 83, they went 11-1. Lost the opener to Baylor, but ripped off 11 in a row, beat 2 final top 25 teams in Air Force in the eventual Rose Bowl champs, which is the thing you can do. You can go to the game and you can win it. UCLA won it, and BYU ended up beating UCLA early in the year. 83 is one of the best bounce backs ever.
Yes, isn't it interesting that 8-4 in 82 was just like, ugh. You talk to the players on that team, and they're like, yeah, we were so disappointed in 82.
We'd take 8-4 this year.
Bounce back season in 83. Maybe the greatest team in BYU history. 2006 at number 2. So BYU, yes, they had the 3 losing seasons. They changed coaches. Bronco Mendenhall comes in. The Cougars go 6-7 in 05 in John Beck's senior season. After starting 1-2, BYU won 10 straight games. They were the Mountain West Conference outright champions. Beck to Harleen. Then they destroyed Oregon in the Las Vegas Bowl 38-8. They end the season ranked number 16 in the final AP poll.
And the number one bounce back season in BYU football history is 1996. Okay, in 95, BYU went 7-4. Didn't go to a bowl game for the first time since 78. Then 96 happened. The first team in NCAA history to win 14 games. Lone loss at Washington. Beat Texas A&M to start the year. Ended the year with a Cotton Bowl win against Kansas State in remarkable fashion. Incredible and considered one of the top 3 seasons overall in BYU history.
Yeah, I cannot
love
stress
96.
How big of a deal it was that BYU did not go to a bowl game in 95, ending that
it was
long
a big deal.
Streak.
I went to 10 of the 15 awesome. Games that year. It was awesome. I love that season.
All right, speaking of bowl games, bounce back seasons, would making a bowl game be a big enough step forward for BYU football in 2024.
No, we're going 8-4, Spence.
Our elite voice today presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Jayhawk Lasso, our Kansas friend on X.
That's right.
Who says, making a bowl game and ruining Utah's chances at a Big 12 title would be a great step forward. He's gone all in on the anti-Utah with BYU.
I think most of the Big 12 has.
7-6, Jared. A winning record. It's what I need.
I don't know what we're going to do in the bowl game. 7-5 regular season.
Well, it'll go 7-5. You lose the bowl game, but you still just win seven games however you get
just
to seven.
Just win seven games.
Win seven. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Men's golf at the NCAA Regionals. Keep it up, boys. Round two going well so far. BYU's got to finish in the top five. They were fourth. Last time we looked.
Our thanks to today's guest, Jonathan Tavernari, who joined us from traffic in Brazil, and Bryce Robinson in the Cougar Council Room,
who deals with traffic on the bases. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. Conversation continues. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jeremiah and Spencer, shout out to the great Mike Reed of BYU Men's Golf. We'll see you tomorrow for more
and
BYUSN
football.
Go Cougs.
Michael football. Reed? Yes. Yeah.